All right, so we'll try to run through the Sukkos Avodah. There are a lot of things to learn. Today we're going to focus on more ritual than on mitzvahs. The mitzvahs obviously are Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah, and the mitzvah of the Dalet Minim, and each one is a Shulchan Aruch in of itself, which is a lot to learn. But let's today focus more not on the specifics of what to look for in an Esreg and a Lulav and all of the laws of the Schach and the Sukkah. Maybe we'll do some of that tomorrow, B'li Neder. Tomorrow's Friday. But let's learn now, let's focus on some of just the ritual, the Seder Hayyim of Sukkot. Okay, let's start with Hadlaka, something we'll try to go quickly. I prepare the best that I can, a few little things, and we'll try to move along. First thing is, Hadlokas Neiros. Okay, general halacha when it comes to Yomtiv, women, when they light Neiros, they make a special bracha, lahalik Neiros shel Yomtiv. The question is, that's also very chiddush. It's very, very big chiddush to light Neiros on Yomtiv. It's not anywhere in the Gemara. The Gemara only makes mention of lighting Neiros for Shabbos. It doesn't make any mention of lighting Neiros on Yomtiv. It's a big, big topic that why do women light Neiros Yomtiv?
Yom Tov is also called Shabbos. Has been Machros
Shabbos. Okay, but it's not the same as Shabbos. You're allowed to do Malacha. You're allowed to cook.
All I know is that
that's what he said.
He would always say, Yom Tov, if you made a Mishmeres B'chayim, Shabbos you can do.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say Yom Tov.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He would say Shabbos in Melizik.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Okay, interesting. Any event, there's no question. Halacha l'maisa, women like Neiros. The only. What happened? You lost the lens. Look, I lost. All right. After the shiur, we'll do a search. We will. The whole thing came out. The entire lens came out. When was the last time you had it? You had it here before? Okay, we'll look for it.
That's a ritual.
By the way, just when you said it's not thing, last year I went to the Yarkei Kala of YU in Shavuos. And there was an issue there that they didn't allow you to light fire in the hotel. So the rebellion there in Rav Shachter was there, Rav Penner, said it's not necessary to light candles. None of the women have to light candles for Shavuos.
Fascinating.
There was a big uproar about that, by the way.
He said he told the women not to light.
Not necessary to light candles.
Period.
One person to light for everybody and all the thousand people that didn't have to light. People are upset.
Shocking. Never start up with the women.
Good philosophy of life.
Wow. That's what he's asking?
That's basically what he says. The meaning is Kavira says that sort of along in it.
What, not like candles?
In other words, he said the women should...
With the Shachyanu. That's a Shachyanu issue.
No, but he says
that's another.
A few things that he tells his wife, she just won't listen. She continues to do what it is. Who's love to you? Maybe it's real clear. In there, he says, I told my wife...
Okay,
well,
look for
that.
Maybe look in the bathroom. Look, you want to the bathroom? All right, we'll look for it after the shiur. Okay, so according, halacha lemaisa does not say anywhere in shulchan anywhere in there's no makar. It's a very interesting topic. We won't spend time on this. There's no makar to light candles on Yom Tov. However, the minog Yisrael is women light candles and they make a special bracha lahalik ner shel Yom Tov. Second question: what time should they light candles? On the first day, obviously, you light candles at Shabbos, 18 minutes before sunset. What about the second day Yom Tov? When do they light candles second day? So there are different minhagim. Some minhagim, some light candles 18 minutes before sunset, like the first day. The problem with that is it's hachana because you're preparing from one day to the next day. And since there's no prohibition, you can light candles after tseis hakoychav, wait 50 minutes after sunset, then they can light candles, there's no issue. So there are two different minhagim.
So if you're going to run into a problem of law when Yom Tov is Shabbos and Sunday.
Light to have light.
The first day you're lighting, you're lighting to have light. So the second day,
at the beginning of the second day, it's getting dark already. You don't have to wait till.
So the reason why it's not called Hachana is because it's already getting dark. But if that, you found it?
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Now the reason why. It's like the people who call up. Their friends and their siblings. I call them up and they're on the phone. I'm looking all over the house. My phone. Where is it? Maybe you saw it. Or you're looking all over. This happened to me once. Look at my glasses. You're wearing them. Okay, I want to move ahead. We're out of time. Okay, question. Now, the question will be, there are two different minhagim.
The second day, when it's daytime,
correct.
Some people eat.
Okay, there are two, basically, you can, do not start up with the women. There are two minhagim. There are some women that will light the second day early, and there were some that will light late, after it says Sakai Chavim. Everyone has a source of Makar. The big next issue is, when do you make the bracha? On a regular Friday, women, when they make light candles, they're makabel Shabbos. Therefore, if they're going to make the bracha, it's too late for them to light. It would be chil Shabbos. If you makabel Shabbos, I can no longer light the candles. So what do? They light candles first, and then they light candles first, and then they make the bracha. What's the problem with doing that? The bracha is not oiver la'asiyasan. It is ideal that the bracha take place before you do the mitzvah. But Friday, you have no choice. Since the bracha is a Kabbalah Shabbos, there is no choice. We have to do away with the principle of making the bracha before you do the mitzvah. They have to make the. They have to first light and then make the bracha. But on Yom Tov, you don't have this problem. Because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to light candles. You are permitted to light candles. There's no prohibition. You're not allowed to make a new fire. You're not allowed to strike a match on Yom Tov because that's noilat. You're creating a new fire. But once the fire already exists, in order to just to light additional candles, that is not called noilat. That's not called a new creation. That is permitted. So on Yom Tov, you're able to fulfill the principle of oiver la'asiyosan. First make the bracha, and after the bracha, then light the candles. Some poskim say it's not a good idea, because once you're going to start playing around with the order, on Yom Tov, you're going to forget yourself, and you're going to make a mistake when it comes to Shabbos. Some say that may be true when you light candles early, but if you're lighting candles late on the second day, if you follow the custom to light candles after Tzeis HaKoychavim, when it's already dark, then, since already fundamentally the lighting of the candles on the second day Yom Tov is different than a regular Shabbos, and that you're lighting it later when already it's already dark, you're not going to get confused. So there, it would be ideal to first make the bracha and then light the candles. All of this is all theoretical because the women do whatever they want to do, whatever they've been taught to do, and don't tell them otherwise. You're asking for shalom bayis problems. Could you be makabel the second day? There's a din of Taisvis Yom Tov? No. I don't think there's any din of Taisvis Yom Tov. There's only a din of Taisvis Yom HaKippurim and a din of Taisvis Shabbos. So there's no inyan to be makabel Yom Tov early. Not that I know of. Only Shabbos.
The only problem is, according to some svarim, is that you're not allowed to, if you're cutting, you're impinging on the first day, on the second day. Although we don't pass
you take
like
me away.
The only problem is Shmini Atzeres and Hoshana Rabbah, because it's a different Yom Tov.
It's a Yom Tov from
the
Asa.
That's the only day when it really poses a problem if you're allowed to make Shmini Atzeres early. According to Poskim, that's the only real day that it's a problem. Rabbi Frank says, forget it. It doesn't matter. You could do it too. But
generally, there is no inyan to be mahader to extend Yom Tov. Din of Tosfos Shabbos is only Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Next, the other issue is, a woman, does she make a shechiyonah when she lights candles? So the minig is they do. The women do, they make a shechianu, and that shechianu then becomes redundant because when their husbands come home from shul, they make kiddush, they also recite shechianu. So the question is, she does not need that shechianu. The shechianu is for the day. Not so similar, we'll get that. For Sukkot might be a little bit different. We'll explain why Sukkot is different. But when the husband makes shechianu, he's making it in honor of the day. And when she lights candles, she's also making the bracha in honor of the day of Yom Tov. And the two brachas are, one is redundant, one is extra. So some want to say that she should not answer amen to her husband shehechianu. That is not accepted. A woman can answer amen, and it's not called a hefsek, and we're going to discuss why it's not going to be an issue on Sukkot anyway. So the bottom line over here is, very quickly, we have over here Yom Tov. It's a chiddush in and of itself that a woman lights candles. It's not, there's no source for this, yet that is the minog Yisrael. A woman lights candles, she makes a special bracha, lahalik ner shel Yom Tov. There's different minhagim as to the second day Yom Tov, if she lights early or she lights late. There are different minhagim as to when she makes the bracha. Does she make the bracha like she makes Shabbos, which means first you light the candles and then you make the bracha? Or does she make the bracha first and then light the candles? And then she makes a shehechianu. These are all different customs, and each person follows their custom. Okay, next topic. Shehechianu.
By the way, there's a minute by some that even the first night of Yom Tov, they light candles.
Even the first night, yeah. To light, making that interesting. That's different. Okay, interesting. Okay, to light even the first second, the first day to light it later. Oh, interesting. I understand.
Comes home, they right. Light
most people of what I've seen, I can't tell you for sure, but what I've seen, my impression is most people in this community, the first day they light early, like Shabbos. And the second day they light late. And they make the bracha the same. They don't differentiate. They make the bracha, they always first light the candles and then make the bracha, even the second night. They don't differentiate in order not to get confused. That's my impression. Everything that I'm telling you is all theoretical, and again, it doesn't make a difference because do not start up with the women. I'll give you an example. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it says, I have a fantastic sefer called Simchas HaShabbos by Rabbi Holland, and he put out a third volume, and he talks about in the halacha, this minhag Yisro, that when you make Havdalah, you fill up the kois and it should overflow. Okay, that minhag is really only done for Havdalah. It's not done for Kiddush. Even though it's not so clear from Mishnah Berurah, it's Mashma, that it can be done, but generally it's only done Motzei Shabbos, Havdalah, it's a simen baracha. In Shulchan Aruch it says, overflow that until where it falls on the floor. On the floor. Now, no one, the overflow is on the floor. The most you'll do is on the saucer. On the saucer. So there was a guy, you know, these people are very obsessed with halacha, and he went to one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and he says, Shteit in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, al hakarka. So we have to follow. We have to. Wait. He told, I don't know, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim. He says, Shulchan Aruch. You gotta follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. What's this business on the saucer? So he looks and he says to him, you're looking to make problems, Shalom Bayis problems? You're looking for Shalom Bayis problems? Are you going to go on the floor? Yeah, go try that at home. Okay, so it goes to show, it's very interesting that you know, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting, you have to know how to read the Shulchan Aruch in a very creative way if you want to know what's good for you. Okay, let's move ahead. Next topic, you go into the sukkah the first night, the first night of Sukkot, it says Gzereshav, we have a Gzereshav in the Gemara, Tesvav, which means all the halachs that apply to Pesach apply to Sukkot, which makes the things very complicated. Now, number one, let's first discuss Shechianu. When do you make a Shechianu in the Sukkah? So when the husband makes Kiddush, what are the brachas? The brachas is first Bori Pri HaGafen, then he makes the brach of Kiddush. Now, halacha l'maisa, he then makes the bracha Leishev Basukkah, and then he makes a Shechianu. The order is very, very important. There's a difference between the order of the brachas the first night and the second night, And understanding the difference between the first night and the second night, you understand everything you need to know about Shachriyanu. Again, one more time. The first night, this is the correct procedure. You first make Savri, Boirei, Peri, Hagofen. Number two, you make the Brocha Asher Bochar Banu, the Brocha of Kiddush, a special Brocha we make in honor of Yom Tov. The third bracha is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu leishev basoka. And then you make a fourth bracha, Shehechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Now let's go to the second night of Yom Tov. The same four brachas, only difference is you reverse the leishev basoka and the Shehechiyanu. On the second night, you first make a Shehechiyanu, and then you make the bracha leishev basoka. Why? Why do we verse the Shehechiyanu on the second night? The answer is, the Shehechiyanu is coming to accomplish two things. Number one, Shehechiyanu, that we've reached the day of Sukkos. Sukkos, we've reached the Zaman, the calendar day. Number two, we're making a Shehechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sukkah. It's the first time we're doing the mitzvah of Sukkah. The truth is, the correct moment to make the bracha Shehechiyanu on Sukkah is when you build your Sukkah. Even within 30 days of Sukkot, when you put up the Sukkah and the Schach is up, according to the letter of the law, you should make the Shehechiyanu right then and there on building the Sukkah. Now, it's a very important question. So if that's the case, why not make a Shehechiyanu when you make a shofar? If I go to the factory and I make a shofar, I should make a Shehechiyanu on the crafting of a shofar. If I go and I buy a Hanukkah menorah, when I come out of the store with my new Hanukkah menorah, I should make a bracha Shehechiyanu on purchasing the menorah. No such thing. The answer is, being that when a shofar lasts for many, many years, and a Hanukkah menorah lasts for many years, you don't make a Shehechiyanu. Part of the rules of making a Shehechiyanu is something that you do renew every year all over again. Every year you build a new sukkah. There's an Indian of redoing the sukkah every... Last year's sukkah is no good. You got to go redo the sukkah every single year.
Well, luckily it would be good, though.
It's not so simple. It's not so simple. It was built L'Shem Sukkah. It was built L'Shem Sukkah, even though within 6 months, as long as you say L'Shem Sukkah. But last year's sukkah, is that good for this year's sukkah?
No.
Not so simple.
Because the sukkah up there all year round.
All year round, you should still do something to the sukkah. You should still do a maisa, lift the schach a little bit. Yes, a very good question. Let's say you do absolutely nothing from last year's sukkah. So technically, probably b'dievet, it's good, but you learn from the laws of Shehechiyanu that it's not so good. You have to do a maisa to show this year, once a year. You can do it 6 months in advance. You can do it even 9 months in advance. But you have to do a maisa within a year. Within a year. A goy is no good. What?
If you tell a goy to push up, no good.
Ain't shlichus l'akum. No, you have to do it yourself. No. You have to do something. Epis something. Put a piece of schach up there. Something to show that the shame sukkah. Okay, any of that. Now, the rule is, now therefore, here is the issue. When you make the Shehechiyanu the first night of Sukkot, the Shehechiyanu is coming to accomplish two things. It's a Shehechiyanu for the calendar day, and it's a Shehechiyanu for the building of the sukkah, the kiyuv hamitzvah of sukkah. The second night of Sukkot, you already made a Shehechiyanu for the building of the sukkah. There's no need to make another Shehechiyanu. So why then are you making a Shehechiyanu on the second night of Sukkot? It's the calendar day. Sveika d'yoyma. Everything we do the first day, we do the same thing the second day, mishum sveika d'yoyma. Therefore, when it comes to the first night of Sukkot, you're making the Shehechiyanu for two reasons. Number one, because of the calendar day. Number two, because it's the first time you've been nene from the Sukkah. You delay the Shehechiyanu after the bracha on the Sukkah. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu leishev basukkah. Oh, now that I'm saying leishev basukkah, now I make a Shehechiyanu on the sukkah. A Shehechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. So my Shehechiyanu is going on the sukkah, and it's going on the calendar day. So you wait to the very, very end. But the second day of Sukkot, you're not making a Shechianu on the Sukkah. I'm already done with that. I did that yesterday. I really could have done that after Yom Kippur when I built my Sukkah. You only make one Shechianu. There's no Sveika D'Yoma on the Sukkah. It's the building of the Sukkah. You only build the Sukkah once. So you're not making a Shechianu on the second day of Sukkot on the Sukkah. You're only making it on the calendar day. Therefore, it would be a hefsek. If you were to say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu leishev b'asukah, and then you would say the Shechianu has been delayed. The Shechianu belongs right after kiddush. Gofen, bor priya gofen, you make kiddush. Kiddush is the sanctity of the day. Now, after you say the sanctity of the day, you make a Shechianu on the day. And now I'll make a bracha on the sukkah, leishev basukkah. If I'm going to delay my Shechianu until after I make the bracha on the sukkah, there was a hefsek between the Shechianu, an unnecessary hefsek between the Shechianu and the sanctity of the day with the bracha of leishev basukkah in the middle, which serves no purpose. On the first day, it serves a very great purpose because I want the Shechianu to rest not just on the Kiddush, I want the Shechianu to rest also on the bracha of leishev basukkah. So therefore, the first day, we want the Shechianu to rest upon two blessings, upon the Kiddush and upon the Sukkah. So we first make the Kiddush, and then we say leishev basukkah, and then we say the Shechianu, which goes back on both. But the second day, you only want your Shechianu to go on the day. You don't want your Shechianu to go on the Sukkah. Because the Sukkah, you only need to do once, the first time you go into the Sukkah. So therefore, it would be a hefsek. So you first say the Kiddush, then the Bar Priya Gofen, you say the Kiddush on the day, and you right away say the Shechianu, and then you make the Bracha, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvah sevetzivanu leishev basukkah.
If somebody has a pop-up Sukkah,
yes. It doesn't matter. Let's say for example, it doesn't matter. It's even though it's not your sukkah, a better example, very common, shal, you're a guest. You're not eating in your sukkah. Let's say you are a guest. You spend $10,000 on buying and putting up an exotic sukkah. And the first night of sukkahs, you're not even eating at home. You're eating by a friend. So you're eating in someone else's sukkah. The second night of sukkahs, I'm now, for the very first time, eating in my home. So do I make a shechianu on my sukkah? No. Because since you made a Shechianu on the Sukkah in someone else's Sukkah, that covers everything. So it doesn't necessarily mean your Sukkah. It means the mitzvah of Sukkah. The mitzvah of Sukkah. The Shechianu you make on the first night goes on the mitzvah of Sukkah and on the day of Sukkot, even if it's not your Sukkah. It's someone else's Sukkah. And when you later come to your own personal Sukkah, you do not make a new Shechianu on your personal sukkah. The Shechianu that was made the first day on someone else's sukkah or answering Amid to someone else's Shechianu covers all of the sukkot of the world.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's say by Lulav Nesvik, every time you do, every day you do, what's the new bracha?
A new, not a new Shechianu.
Right.
You make a leishev basukkah every single day, but you don't make a Shechianu.
That's true.
You have the friendship between the bracha and the mitzvah and the Shechianu. Shechianu is only once. Okay, so it's a very important yesod to appreciate the difference between the first day and the second day. There are four blessings, and you make the first both days. The difference, though, is when do you make the bracha Shechianu? Do you make it at the very end, or do you make it second to last? The first day, you make it at the very, very end, because it's going back on everything. It's going back on the day, and it's going back on the mitzvah of Sukkah. On the second day, you don't need it to go back on the mitzvah of Sukkah, because you're already done with that. You've already made a Shechianu on the mitzvah of Sukkah. But you do still need to make a Shechianu on the day because of Sveika D'Yoma. So then you put the Shechianu right after the day, which means after Kiddush. And then you make the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. Okay, now what about Kiddush by day? When do you make the bracha Leishev Basukkah? Most people that I've seen, it seems like the common minhag is to make the Shechianu when you make Kiddush. So you make Kiddush, Kiddush Rabba, you make the Kiddush. What is Kiddush? Really, Kiddush is just to make a bari priya gofen. You don't have to say any psukim. You just say Savri, Miranon, Rabbanon, Rabbi Sai, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kinnim Elchilon, Boire priya gofen. By the way, you only have to say Savri when you're making Kiddush for someone else. If you're making Kiddush for yourself, you don't have to say Savri Mironon V'Rabbanon V'Rabbosai. Those words are only said when you're being Moitse Acherim Yidei Chayvasan. If you're making Kiddush only for yourself, it is not necessary to say the word Savri, just to say a Boirei Priyagofen. And many have a custom, a very beautiful custom, to recite Psukim. What are the Psukim you say? Eile Mordei Hashem Asher Tikur Sam Mikroi Kodesh Elohim Mordei Vayidaber Moshes Mordei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. People say those two psukim, okay? And they have a sinner, so you say, if you can't remember it by heart, some say it's not even allowed to say it by heart. It's usur to say psukim by heart. You're supposed to say psukim from a text. Only psukim which are very popular. Everyone knows them, but not everyone knows that pasuk by heart. Eile moade Hashem asher tikru'u oisam mikro'ei kodesh eile himadoi vayidaber Hashem es moade Hashem el b'nei Yisrael. Vayidaber Moshe. Does everyone know that? That could be that's not the Iker Pasuk. That Pasuk is only that Pasuk. He writes over here is not the Iker Pasuk. The Iker Pasuk is eile moade Hashem. So the truth is, whenever you say Kiddush, you're supposed to say it from a Siddur, because, or a card or a text, because if it's the psukim which are not fluent in the peh kol, dvarm shebichsav, you're not allowed to say bal peh. Yeah.
In the same vein, when you have Kedusha Rabbah
Shabbos,
in the shul, then you come back to your sukkah. You make it again.
Yeah, you do only need to make Kiddush once.
No, not Kiddush. I mean the
yes, yes. Every time you go to a different sukkah, you must make a new leishay basukkah. Absolutely, absolutely. When you go to a new sukkah, if you make Kiddush in shul. If you go to a shul and you make Kiddush and you may say Leishay Basukah and you go home, you must make a new Leishay Basukah. Correct. It's like once the bracha, if you're making a new bracha on food, whenever you're making a new bracha on food, that requires you to make a new bracha on Leishay Basukah. You're triggering some memories, and maybe I don't think I'm making a mistake, but I have to go look up this again. I didn't prepare that halacha, but I'm pretty sure you do make another Leishay Basukah when you go back into your home. Now, when do you make the Leishay Basukah? By day. Most people today, what I've seen, I can't tell you everyone does this, is they make the Leishay Basukah when they make Kiddush. So they make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Bar Priyagofen, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushon B'mitzvos V'tzivanu, Leishay Basukah, and then they drink the wine. Others do not follow that, hold that to be correct, and it is their opinion that they make the Leishay Basukah when they wash. When they drink the wine, they do not make a Leishay Basukah for Kiddush. And then when they eat mizoynos, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Bari Minei mizoynos, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot Tzivanu Leishev Basukah. Or and also it's again when people make kiddush, so the one who makes kiddush, when you have to have if you have kavan to be yoisi with his Leishev Basukah, then you're not going to make a Leishev Basukah when you eat mizoynos. Sometimes the one who makes kiddush doesn't say Leishev Basukah, so then when you eat your mizoynos, you have to make a Leishev Basukah. Okay, so they're different, and then when you wash also, some people, if you're washing, some make the Leishay Basukah when they make Kiddush, some make the Leishay Basukah after they recite the Hamaitzi Lecha Minaretz. There are two minhagim, they're equal, everyone does whatever their custom is. My impression is that most people today make the Leishay Basukah when they make Kiddush. They make the Bar Priyagofen, and then immediately they make the Leishay Basukah. That's my impression, it could be I'm wrong. But both minhagim are certainly valid by day.
No, I mean, I was taught that, you know, only to make it on a... I mean, I'm sure that you're allowed to, obviously, because my father always told me a couple of times when I just forgot myself to make it on the motzi, that's all.
On the motzi, not when you make Kiddush.
I made Kiddush, and I didn't make it. He said, you'll make it by the motzi.
By the motzi. So they're different minhagim. You only make Leishay Basukah when you eat mizoynos. If you eat a shahakol, you do not make a Leishay Basukah. Only when you eat mizoynos, only and food also. Now, if you eat food, you do not make a Leishay Basukah. Only mizoynos or hamaitzi. Havdalah, mitzayamtif, you do not make a Leishay Basukah. You do not make Leishay mitzayamtif. You go into the sukkah to make havdalah, and you make it on a koyshel bracha. So you're drinking wine, a cup of wine. You do not make a Leishay Basukah when you recite Havdalah. You just make the Bar Priyagofen, and you drink the wine, and then you make a Al HaGefen. If you drink a shir of a Revius, and you do not make a Leishay Basukah. Now, okay, so that's the laws of Leishay. Now, what about...
Just going in for a piece of cake and a cup of coffee?
cake, whenever you have a piece of cake, you must make a leishev. Absolutely. If you sit down, eat a piece of cake, and you make a mezoinos, you first make the mezoinos, boirei minei mezoinos, then you say, baruch atah Hashem, kinim elcholam asher, kedushan, mezoinos tzivanu, leishev bas sukkah. Anytime you go into the sukkah, you must make that bracha when you eat. If you just go into the sukkah to learn, to talk to someone, to relax, you do not make a leishev bas sukkah. Now, do you make the leishev bas sukkah by kiddush, standing or sitting? Okay, there are different minhagim. Some say that you should bedafka stand. Why should you stand when you make the leishev bas sukkah? It should be oiver la'asiyasan. The words leishev mean to sit. So when you're standing, I'm not sitting. So you're making the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Like all, before you put on your tul, you make the bracha. Before you put on your talis, you make the bracha. So before you sit down, make the bracha, leishev bas sukkah, and then sit. And then sit. So the bracha should be oivel la'asiyasan. That's not popular. What's more popular is to sit when you say the leishev bas sukkah, because... Because, right, especially if you said that it's not possible, there are different minhagim. Do you stand for Kiddush? Do you sit for Kiddush? Everyone has a different meaning what they do. So then it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, you're going to be sitting or standing. But let's say it's during, let's say it's during Cholamoit. And now you want to have your, you want to make a bracha on a piece of cake. So you'll sit down for the mezoinos. Should you stand up before you sit the leishev bas sukkah? You never seen that, right? No one does that. Not a yo-yo. You don't go up and down. You remain seated.
It kind of doesn't make sense, so that's why.
So leishev, but you ready? So leishev means to tarry. Leishev. It means to eat. The eating is the key of the leishev, so it's considered to be oivel la'asiyasan. Now let's go back to the shechianu. The shechianu we make on the nitzukis, there's no issue. A woman is allowed to answer amen to her husband's bracha. Well, that is, it all depends. It depends where does a woman light Yom Tov candles. Does she light it in the sukkah or does she light it in the house? Ideally, she should light it in the sukkah, but that might be dangerous. It might be dangerous. Be very, very careful. Safety first. So then if you're lighting it in the house, so the woman was not yet nene from the sukkah. So then when the husband makes the bracha shechayonu at Kiddush, she also, that shechayonu she needs, because she did not yet hear a shechayonu on the sukkah. The shechayonu that she made in at home when she lit the candles is only for the day, but not for the sukkah. So then she can answer amen the first night of sukkah without any issue whatsoever, because she needs that shechayonu for her the sukkah. But if she lit the candles in the sukkah, so when she lit the candles, it was going on the sukkah also. So then that's the classic case of where she already was yoytzei, but she can still answer amen to her husband's bracha nevertheless. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Okay, the next topic, running ahead over here is, okay, let's go to the morning. Just jump around. In the morning, there's the mitzvah of the dalad minim. When should a person make a bracha on the dalad minim? There's a beautiful minug to make the bracha on the dalad minim in the sukkah. Does anyone do that?
Yes.
Do that?
Yeah.
Now let me tell you a little lagod also today. So let me tell you a lagod. Why is there an inyan to make, this is dvar gada, but I think it's very soidistic of art, to make the dalad minim in the sukkah. The mitzvah of taking the lulav and esrog is a mitzvah of simcha. It's explicit in the pasuk. Ulekachtem lechem b'yoy marishin pri etzhodar kapo etzimon v'anaf etzavos v'arinochal usimachtem. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Every time you take the lulav and the esrog and you shake it, this is simcha. Simcha. When you go into the sukkah, where are you going into? You're going into the tzila dimhemnusa, the shade of faith. It's a holy place. It's like a Beis HaMikdash. When you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you take off your shoes, you don't have your money belt, you put down, you turn off your smartphone, you turn off. It's a place of yiras haroimimus. The sukkah is sacred. It's going into a Beis HaMikdash. You have to be very careful what you bring into the sukkah. It's not necessarily appropriate to bring a newspaper into a sukkah.
Okay?
It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to bring the New York Times into the sukkah. To have the New York Times, period. Okay. You get it. I'm not going to make jokes now, but you get the idea. The sukkah is a sacred place. Look, I'll tell you, by Hasidim, they don't let a nida go into a sukkah. Okay, it's a right. sacred place. I'm not joking. It's a no joking here. Okay? It's a sacred place, what you do in the sukkah. We don't appreciate it. Unfortunately, we became a little bit too lax in this. So it's a place of yira.
My grandfather didn't allow a davar chol in a classroom where they were learning.
Wow, that's very interesting.
I had a lot of rebbes who used to say my grandfather threw their things out the window when they brought it in.
Like a base medrash. It's like a base medrash. A sukkah is a holy place. An attitude is the yira. Yiras haroimimus. Da lifnei miyata oimeid. So Rabbi Yisrael, either extreme is no good. It's not good to get to if your person focuses too much on yira, you can lose your mind. Go out of your mind. If a person is too much simcha, well, the simcha zo ma'osa. What's the purpose of too much simcha? Too much joy, everything in life is just a joke. It's also no good. Balance. Life is all about balance. Every single thing in life is all about to find that sweet spot. A sukkah, Rabbi Yisrael, when you take the dalet minim into the sukkah, it's one of a kind. It's a mitzvah, it's an experience that is singular in all of Tayag mitzvahs. It's the sweet spot. You're taking the object which represents usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And where are you having usimachtem? In the mokoim of the tzila din hemusa, in the place of Hashem's presence. You know, even though in the time of Chazal, you don't daven when you learn. Torah is pikude Hashem yishore mesamche leiv. Torah is simcha. Davening? Da lefnei miyato oimeid. There's no, you don't, a base medrash and a base knesses are mutually exclusive. Not like today. Today it's all one big world. Everything is today the global village. Everything is all the same. We're all confused today. It's all one big thing. In time of Chazal, there was no minyanim in the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Medrash, there was learning 24/7. There was no Amud. There was no Aron HaKodesh. You don't daven in the Beis Medrash. You learn 24/7. In the place where they're pilgrimage, not the Beis Medrash, in their homes. Bamude, in the place. But I hear what you say. Okay, so yes and good. Yes and good, Kasha, but that was for Yechidim, it appears. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer. You're saying very good. They daven in the place where they learned.
No, okay. The difference is in the Beis Knesset, you don't learn.
And the Beis Medrash, you don't daven either. The Pashas was, it's Biddle Torah. Torah Soi Umanosoi. Rashbi didn't daven for 12 years. He didn't daven. Torah Soi Umanosoi. Adam, you're not allowed to daven. When you're Isaac and Torah, you're not even allowed to daven. Torah sayum nosai. When you have a need to daven, because you can't learn anymore, so then you daven. But the Beis Medrash, a mokum miyuchid for tzfilas, for the learning of the rabbin, you need a daven? Go across the street to the shul. And each one was totally unique. You don't have the merging of the two. Sukkah is a unique experience. Where you take an object which represents simcha, usimachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, and you bring it into the makom of ra'ada, da lifnei miyato oimeid. You come into the sukkah. You're in the tzila din hemnusa. There's no monkey business in the sukkah. There's no this ra'ada, and yet you merge the two together. Wow, that's a balance. That's the gilu bira'ada. Rejoice with trepidation. That's why there are two mitzvahs. Why do you have to have two mitzvahs on Sukkot? Every yom, you only have one mitzvah. Hashem is not here to overwhelm us. Every yom, you only have one mitzvah. Yom Kippur, v'inisem. Pesach, matzah. Sukkot, Shavuos, we don't have any, we have no mitzvahs on Sukkot. We have just the karbanos, the alechem. You don't have two mitzvahs. Why there are two mitzvahs? Balance. It's all about finding balance in life. It's a dogma for everything in life. The two come together. So some have a beautiful minhag where they mekayim the mitzvah, they make the bracha in the sukkah. Now that's very challenging because what are you going to do it? If you're going to go make the bracha, basically it's a no-win situation. Why do I say a no-win situation? It would be ideal if you could make a bracha for the nanuim. when you shake your lulav and esrog, and you can make a bracha before you do hakafos hashanis. Some hold that the ikur simcha is not the nanum shaking the lulav and esrog. The ikur simcha usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem is hashanis, is to walk around the bima with, to do hakafa. This is the ikur simcha. That's why an ovel doesn't do it. Because an ovel is not a prophet, he should have such simcha to walk around the bima with your lulav and esrog. Some hold that it's such an ikur, if everyone in the shul has a lulav and esrog, you can't tell someone to go hold the Sefer Torah. You can't tell a person to deny. So you know what you do? You put the Sefer Torah on the bima. No one holds it. You put the Sefer Torah, you mevaza the Sefer Torah, better be mevaza the Sefer Torah, and have it lie on the bima flat, than to tell a person, you, put down your lulav and esrog and hold the Sefer Torah. Could you imagine such a thing? You have a shul, everyone has a lulav and esrog. Who are you going to tell?
Most people do it.
What?
So
this is the big machlokes. Halacha l'maisa, we do tell a person that it's adrabah. Godel hama'asa yoseh, the one that it's the enabler is better. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that if there's no one in the shul, that if everyone has a lulav and esrog, we tell a person, you should give it up. Give up the zechus of doing hashanis to hold the Sefer Torah. You're not going to lose out. That's the bottom line. Or the ideal thing is switch in the middle. Switch in the middle. Let the person that holds the Sefer Torah should quickly do a hakafa very quickly and then give it to someone else. Everyone should be very makbid, even the one that holds the Sefer Torah, to do a hakafa. If there's an ovel in the Beis HaKnesses who does not go around, so then he should be the one that holds the Sefer Torah. Okay, but it's viewed to be very, very covered. I remember I davened last year in Chaim Berlin on Chol HaMoed. And the Gabbai there, he's only the Gabbai in Chol HaMoed. He's not the Gabbai the whole year round. And I'm his friend. So he said to me, I'm giving you the kibbutz to hold the Sefer Torah for Hashanis. For Hashanis. I was flattered beyond belief. It was a big deal by me. I went and I, you know, to get Sefer Torah, it's a big olam there. Not for Hashan Rav, that they wouldn't give me. On a regular Chol HaMoed day. So I didn't do it. I didn't go around. There's no time there. There's no monkey business there. I'm not going to be able to go do any shtick and go put it down. You know, everyone is watching. You got to be quick. Got to be swift on your feet to take out the Sefer Torah and stand by the bima. When they start the whole ceremony, they do this very, very elaborate. They do a very beautiful, elaborate ceremony there. So the halacha is you're giving up. You're giving up the ability to do a kofa. It's not so poshut. Okay, when there was no oval, I don't know. There was no oval. It used to be. I remember when I was an oval, I wanted to do it, and I wasn't able to because there were other avelim, and they were senior to me. So I'm not going to go fight with them, you know. So but there were people lining up to hold the Sefer Torah because they were avelim, and the avelim wanted the schus to hold the Sefer Torah. But I don't know. Remember, there was no avelim. It can't be there no avelim. But I don't know what the story was. Whatever it was, but. But it's this is a big shaila what to do about holding the Sefer Torah. You go around once. Simchas Torah is a little bit different. It's Yom Tov, so there's no avelus on Yom Tov. So Simchas Torah you can go around once. You can go around. You can go around. Oh, the minhag ha'olam is that an avel can take a hakafa and you go around once. You don't do anything elaborate. You just hold the Sefer Torah and you walk around the bima. Once or twice, what? Not even once. Okay, so different minhagim. I've seen this many times. I've seen this is the olam. I've seen. No, I can't tell you. Every shul is different, but it appears that on sim hashanis the minhag olam is the avelim do not do anything. They don't walk around without lulav and esrog. And they don't do anything. Just stand by the. That's what I said. They give the whole the Sefer Torah. That's the ideal thing to do. But let's say there's more than one avel. So there is a minog. There is a minog. I saw a minog. No one does this. Is that the avel walks around without the lulav and esrog? That's not a common minog. Okay, that's not a common minog at all. But there is such a makar for this. So if you see someone, sometimes they don't know. People don't know. They do it. And then there's a minhag yishno, there are minhagim where the avelim do go around. They do go around with the lulav and esrog. There are definitely minhagim There are definitely minhagim where aveilim do hoshanis. Okay? What about hakavas and simchas Torah? There are different minhagim. Like I said, some will not do it all. I've seen very often where they would tell the avil, here, you go around once, and that's it. Don't dance, no lebedeka dancing, no nothing, you just go around once, you finished. Yeah, it's...
So then why can not participate in simchas beis hashoeim? Music.
He's just there. He's not that, because that's the real simcha is doing a mitzvah. Just participating, watching people dance.
Well, going around in the
Yeah. Oh, when you take out the it's part of the ritual. It's part of the ritual of the davening, of the take and the walk around. That is much more significant. Okay, do you want to take a break or you want to continue? Want to take a break for a minute? All right, boys, you want to take a break?
Say
it loud. Should we get everyone up? Okay, so we'll take a break for 10 seconds. Anyone want to take a break?
A senior break.
All right, let's go fight. Anyone who wants a break, you'll take. Welcome to go outside for a few. Let's just try. Going back to Hoshanis. Okay, now let's discuss. I'm getting all mixed up. Let's discuss this in Halacha. Now here are the dilemmas. Dilemmas. Ideally, when you make the bracha, the ideal thing would be would be like this. This is the ideal thing to do. You do not make a bracha on the lulav and esrog early in the morning when you wake up. You come to shul, you daven a whole davening, and then you come to shul and you recite shmona esrog, chazaras hashatz, and right before halal, you take your lulav and esrog out and you go into the shul sukkah, and you make a bracha, and you go to a shul where they daven nusach svart, where they're going to do hashanis right after. So you go into the shul sukkah and you mekayim the minog Yisrael if you can to be ma'arev the two mitzvah daraisa of lulav and esrog with the mitzvah daraisa of sukkah and to make the bracha on the lulav and esrog in the sukkah. The gilu bira'ada to rejoice with samachtem bira'ada trepidation Hashem's bias in the tzildi v'hemnusa. Don't say a word. Don't talk. Do not. Oh, good yontif, how's the family? How you doing? Did the Yankees win last night? Where are we holding in the World Series? The Dodgers, where are they holding? Don't say a word, because the bracha ain't over yet. Because the bracha you made, asher kiddushana b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al netilas lulav, you made it for shaking the lulav and esrog in the sukkah, and that bracha is also for the nanuim that you're going to do in the middle of Hallel. And then when you finish Hallel, don't talk. Because the bracha that you made, asher kiddushana b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al netilas lulav, goes for the hoshanis, when you walk around the bima. So you're getting triple. You're making a bracha, and the bracha is going for the taking of lekachtem. It's going for the simcha when you say hallel and you shake in the middle of hallel. And it's also going for the hakafis when you walk around the bima. That would be the ideal thing to do. But we don't live in a perfect world. And many shuls do not have sukkos. And even shuls that do have sukkos, it's not practical. It's just not practical for the whole shul to pile out and go and line up and go into the sukkah.
The rub,
what?
The
my father used to go out. My father used to go out. It was only 2 or 3 people would go out. It wasn't a big deal. It was very quick. So it's not practical for the whole shul to go out into the sukkah. And also, it's not so simple because it's a hefsek. If you're going to give a break, a 15-minute break, everyone to go to the sukkah, that's not correct. You're in the middle of shachris. Shachris ain't over until you say tiskabel. You don't go out. Okay. Rabbosai, everyone's going to go now, bench lulav and esrog, hafsaka, 25-minute hafsaka. Go make kiddush. Some people, no, it's a problem. It's a very big problem. I daven in Chaim Berlin, and they have a very long hafsaka. They have, because everyone, the minute there is, everyone goes out into the sukkah to go, and when it's crowded, on a day when it's crowded, in Yom Tif, it takes the sukkah's not all that big, and the exits are not so large. It takes a very long time, and what happens after you go? People, they go very quick, 1, 2, 3, until everyone finishes. People begin to have these long conversations, and that is not halachically correct. because you're being mafsik between the Shmona Esrei and Halal. That's not a perfect rule. There is no perfect solution, no matter how you cut it. No matter what you're going to do, you're not going to find the perfect solution. I would imagine, I remember when I was a child, I remember very early, years ago, I went in Chol HaMoed with my bike. I bike from my house to Chaim Berlin. I daven early, probably daven youngish, like 7 o'clock. And Chaim Berlin, probably they start at 8 o'clock. And I biked over, and I walked into the Chaim Berlin main Beis Medrash, the old Beis Medrash, and they were in the middle of Hashanahs. On Chol HaMoed, and how many people were there on Chol HaMoed? I don't think there were more than 20 people. I remember the Rosh Yeshiva of Aaron Schechter, I remember distinctly he was doing Hashanahs, he was like dancing Hashanahs, he was a lot younger then, and he was dancing, and it made a very strong impression on me. I was so, wow, I never saw this before, something like this, and like he was doing it with such a hislavos, doing the Hashanahs, and how many people were there? 20 people, the whole Beis Medrash. It was a small Beis Medrash. 20 people. Now, fast forward, so now, there's a lot more than 20 people. Okay? And it takes a lot of time, and probably the sukkah probably now was smaller than the old sukkah, right? The old sukkah they had was a very big sukkah. They had space in the olden days, and big, massive sukkah. Now they have a little sukkah, not so big. And it was not so easy to get a sukkah. So then, the hafsaka probably took 10 seconds to go into the sukkah. Now, you know, it evolved. So the problem, things evolve, they get better, but the same way they get better, they get worse. With it becoming easy to do this very big olam, the hafsaka takes a lot longer, and it turns into a service. It turns into people have a conversation because it takes a very long time for everyone finishes, and that is not halachically correct. And what are you going to do about it? So you're going to stop the hafsaka? All right, maybe. I mean, you know, it's not my whoever's making the decisions are making the decisions, whatever it is. So now the other problem, now that is an ideal thing to do. Now on the other hand, it's not necessarily ideal because some hold that the ideal thing you should do is rizim makdimim lemitzvos. You should make the brach on your lulav and eshrik first thing in the morning. Before davening. Zrizim makdimim lemitzvos, even before davening. How do you before davening? I don't know, but some hold you should make the bracha, you should do it. That's the ideal thing to do. Nusach Ashkenaz, the true Nusach Ashkenaz is to make the bracha, is to do Hashanahs after Musaf. Right. And thus, it's impossible, there's a hefsek. You can't say that the bracha you made on the Tilas Lulim is going to go on Hashanahs that he did by Musaf. There's a major hafsaka of Kriya Satorah. So it's not at all so simple. Okay, next, interesting. Now, first I saw something very interesting. When do you do Hashanahs? After Shacharis or after Musaf? Minig Ashkenaz is after Musaf. Minig Sfard is after Shacharis. Many people today, there's a mingling. Many people today, have this.
Which minig Ashkenaz you're talking about?
So many people are doing whatever they want to do. After litters, after Musaf.
Yeah, but minig Ashkenaz,
Oberlande, yeah, after Shacharis. Okay, so I don't even last year. I remember we had a very deep, yeah, something very deep. I came across something very deep to explain to me, Masber, the Lomdis. There's a very deep. I don't remember. I have no clue. I don't remember. Just comes to mind.
What you discussed was in terms of taking out the Sefer Torah.
But no, that's another issue. We'll come to something right now. But there's another. There's a very deep in. You know, first you have to understand, to appreciate what is Hashanahs and where does it belong. Does it belong Shacharis Musaf? You know, on the Yavanai Rami, you say Lekel Oirech Din. When do you say Lekel Oirech Din on Rosh Hashanah? Shacharis or Musaf? First day, second day? So why? It's not so simple. What exactly is Lekel Oirech Din all about? Does it belong Shacharis, Musaf? There's a lot of very deep matters as where it belongs. Let's put that all aside. Let's talk about something very fast. Two very fascinating things that are new, that I came across new this year. And that is, it seems like in Eretz Yisrael, you've never seen this in America, there are some shuls, the Chazon Ish did this, had a pshara, a compromise, as to when they did Hashanahs. On Yom Tov, they did Hashanahs after Musaf. The first 2 days Yom Tov, and Shabbos Chol HaMoed, they did it Musaf. Musaf, you don't walk around with the lulav and Esrei. You don't walk around with a lulav and esrog on Shabbos. You just open up the Aron HaKodesh and you say the Hoshana. They did it Musaf, and Hoshana Rabbah. Likewise, they did it Musaf. But the other days of Chol HaMoed, Mishum Tircha Ditzibura, once you already have your lulav and esrog out, right after Shachris, you do Hoshana. So here's a very interesting minhag. Okay, you have not seen this in America anywhere. They America, it's one size fits all. Either you do it always after Musaf, or you do it always after Shachris. It seems that in Eretz Yisrael, there are many shuls that have a compromise. Ashkenaz, Minig Ashkenaz, they do it primarily after Musaf, with the exception of Chol HaMoed, not Hoshana Rabbah, and not Shabbos, where they do it after Shachris. Because I guess it's a quicker pace. Now here's something very, very interesting. What about the Sefer Torah? Let's say you daven Nusach Svart, and you do Hoshanis right after Shachris. So look what's going on. Something very bizarre. You take out, you finish the Shmona Esrei. Okay, you finish the Shmona Esrei, and after the Shmona Esrei, you open up the Aron HaKodesh. And you say halal. And after the halal is over, you begin Hoshanis. So what happens? You open up the Aron HaKodesh, you take out the Sefer Torah, you bring it to the Bima, and everyone walks around the Bima while the Shliach Tzibur, he recites Hoshanis. Then after he finishes Hoshanis. Wait, when did he say Kaddish to Skabel? I'm a little confused. After Halal, you say first Kaddish Tiskabel. Okay, let's go back. Shmon Esrei, Halal, Kaddish Tiskabel. Now you open the Oroin, you take out the Sefer Torah, you bring it to the Bima, you do Hoshanis, and then what? You take the Sefer Torah and you bring it back into the Oroin.
Yeah, but Kaddish Tiskabel is said after Hoshanis.
After you're doing it like that, right?
After
okay, I made a mistake. Now you do. Yeah. You say Kaddish to Skabel after Hoshanis. Okay, fine.
Right.
So what do? You take. You put the Sefer Torah back in the Aron HaKodesh, and then you say Kaddish to Skabel, and then you say Vayehi bin Soyah Aron. You open up the Aron and you take it out, and you take out what is the Sefer Torah yo-yo? You take it in and out. You just put the Sefer Torah back in the Aron HaKodesh. The amount of time it takes to say Kaddish to Skabel is seconds. Yiskadal v'yiskadash to go to the Kaddish. And then the very next second, you open up the Aron again and you take it out.
Yeah, but if you don't say
L'David
before, no?
Well, if you say you say the Yoyman L'David. The Yoyman L'David. Okay, that's true. You do say the Yoyman L'David. You daven Nusach Svar. You daven Nusach Ashkenaz. You're not even going to do that. After you say Hayoyman L'David and the Kaddish Yosem, a double Kaddish Yosem, so there's more of a hefsek. You're saying very, very good. But let's say you daven in Nusach Ashkenaz, who broke the rules and is doing Hoshanis after Shachris and is going to wait for the Yoyman L'David later on. It turns out the only hafsaka between taking the Sefer Torah out and putting it back in is Kaddish Tiskada. So he writes here, Rabbi Tezner writes here, and he reads sources, that many places can say that it's Shaloi Kedim. If you are reciting Halel, saying Hoshanis, after Shachris, you should not put the Sefer Torah back. He says you can't change. The Minag Yisrael is not like this. And therefore, it is what it is. This became a Naya Minag. A Naya Minig in Klal Yisrael, that you put the Sefer Torah back, you say Kaddish to Skabel, you'll say Hayoy Men L'David, and then you take the Sefer Torah out. He writes here that this is Shaloi Kedin. According to Halacha, once you took the Sefer Torah out, you keep it out. And you can say Kaddish to Skabel, and you say the Yoim L'David, and then V'yazor V'yogain V'yoshia L'chol HaChosim Bo. Oh, what about Vayehi bin Soya? You should say Vayehi bin Soya when you take out the Sefer Torah for Hoshanis. This is correct.
Nobody
and does. This is the way it's cited in some of the old minhagim. It's a shibush that has crept into our minhagim, which appears to be incorrect, and you can't fix it anymore. That's the way it is. Don't make trouble. Don't. But at least we should appreciate that what we're doing is wrong.
If you did that, the shul would lose money.
Why lose
you
money?
Sell the aliyahs.
So you sell the aliyahs before, but you can't sell it because then you're right. You, I hear what you're saying. You can't do it because yeah, I hear what you're saying. I guess if you're gonna dive a nusach svar, it's better, much better, because there at least is a much greater hefsek by saying the yoim and saying ledavid and having a kaddish yosam twice in between. You marbe the hefsek. You definitely, you're giving more legitimacy why you're able to put the Sefer Torah back. But if you dive in a nusach Ashkenaz, who broke the rules, who just wants out of convenience to say Hoshanis right after Hallel, and you want to say the Yoim and Ledavid at the very end, and the only Hefsik then is going to be the Kaddish Tiskabel, you really, it's not enough of a reason why you should be able to put the Sefer Torah back, to take the Sefer Torah back and forth. You should be more sensitive to the honor of the Sefer Torah. It's not, we are totally desensitized to this principle, but it's not a kavod for a Sefer Torah to be on the move. The Sefer Torah is meant to be uvenucho yomar, to be resting. When a Sefer Torah is on the move, there is a sense of discomfort. Uvayihi bin Soharon, war breaks out. Vayihi bin Soharon, vayomashakumashem viyafutsu oivecha viyanusu misanecha miponecha. When the Sefer Torah is on the move, there's a moment of weakness. We are vulnerable. Our enemies are coming to get us. We need to pray Hashem should smash our enemies. You want the Sefer Torah to be munach al mekomoi b'sholoim uvenucho yomar shuv Hashem rivois alfei Yisrael. We're desensitized to this. We just in, out. It's not the correct thing. We have no choice. That, but it's interesting point to keep that in mind. Okay, now what about the Nanuim? The Nanuim. Now let's review the Nanuim very quickly. The Nanuim when the Shliach Tzibur, when he says Hoidu la Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto, the Shliach Tzibur shakes, and we respond. We also shake
afterwards.
Then the Shliach Tzibur says, Yoimru no Yisrael, ki li olam chasto. When the Shliach Tzibur says Yoimru no, does he shake? Yes. Yoimar no Yisrael. Do we shake? Yes. Then the Shliach Tzibur says Yoimru no Yirei Beisaroin, and then Yoimru no Yirei Hashem. The Shliach Tzibur does not. But when we respond with Hoidu Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto, we shake. Now, when it goes to Ona Hashem, only Ona Hashem Oshiyana, Ona Hashem Oshiyana, both the Shliach Tzibur and we shake, but no one shakes. For Ona Hashem Atzlichana, Ona Hashem Atzlichana. Why? And then at the very end, Hoidu Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto, we all do it again twice. Why? Why is that so? So there are two reasons. Number one, it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, it's very clear. It says in the pasuk, "Oz yiranenu atzei hayar milifnei Hashem," and then the next pasuk says, "Hoidu la Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto v'imru hoshienu elokei yishenu." That's it. When does the atzei hayar shake? Oz yiranenu atzei hayar. What are the atzei hayar? The dalid minim are the atzei hayar. When? The next part is only when you say hoidu la Hashem. That's and the next pasuk, the imru hoshienu, which is short for ona Hashem hoshiana. So let's explain. When the Shliach Tzibur gives instructions, Yoimar no Yisrael ki li'olam chasto. What do we say? Hoidu Hashem. When he says Yoimar no, when he says Hoidu Hashem and Yoimar no Yisrael, and all four times, what do we always respond? We always respond with Hoidu Lashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasto. That's why we shake. When the Shliach Tzibur says himself, Hoidu Lashem, he also shakes. When the Shliach Tzibur says to the whole Yoimar No Yisrael, being that he's addressing the entire Klal Yisrael, telling them to say Hoidu Lashem, he also shakes. But when the Shliach Tzibur is not addressing the entire Klal Yisrael, he's only addressing a select group, the pasuk. It's not a kovid. Only when you address the entire Klal Yisrael, telling them to say Hoidu LaHashem, he's only addressing Beis Aroin, only addressing the Yirei Hashem, he's not worthy to shake. Only when he is saying Hoidu LaHashem, we're telling the entire Klal Yisrael to say Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasto, does the Shliach Tzibur shake. When it comes to Ono Hashem Oshi and Ono Hashem Oshi, no, like we said, you only shake when it says, the Pasuk says, V'imru Hoshienu. Okay, that's basically it. Now there is another reason why you don't shake for Ono Hashem Atzlichono, and that is, why do we shake in all four directions? Chazal say to withhold bad winds. There are damaging forces in this world which can cause harm, and we are mispalel to Hashem to save us from this damage. So when you say Hoshiona, that's what you're saying. Save us from the bad winds that will cause damage to the agricultural, to the produce. But when you say to Hashem, Ono Hashem Hatzlichono, success, you're not praying about winds to save us. You're just asking for success. Then there's no point in shaking the Lulav and the Esrog. When you shake the Lulav and the Esrog to all six directions, it's to withhold the evil, to save us from the forces of evil. So when you say Hoshiona, Hoshia means to save us. Save us from the forces of evil. But when you're not trying to save yourself from the forces of evil, you're asking for success, then you do not need to shake the Lulav and the Esrog. So basically, let's review. Basically, the reason why we shake where we shake is basically because of the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. And the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim begins with, Oz Yiraninu Atzei Hayoar. The trees of the forest will sing to Hashem. When we shake them, that's an expression of song. When will be Yiraninu? The Pasuk says, Hoidu LaHashem Ki Toif. And the next Pasuk says, V'imru Hoshienu Elokei Yishenu. Being that there's the juxtaposition of Yiranu Atzei Hayar with Hoidu LaHashem and Hoshia, we only shake when we say On Hashem Hoshiana, and when we say Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasto. The Shliach Tzibar, when he says the first line, Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov, that's the Pasuk. And when he says, Yoimar No Yisrael Ki Le'olam Chasto, what is he telling us to say? He's telling us to say Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasto. So that's why when he's giving the instructions, he also says this. Okay, now, by the way, what is the order of shaking? Okay, so the difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Svart, either you go clockwise, everyone does their minig. I saw something very interesting, though, is that when it comes to Ono Hashem Oshiyana, what do most of us do? You shake twice for each word. Ono, Hashem, you do nothing. It's not their cheretz and Hashem's name. Hoshia, another two times. No, another two. There's another minig. I never saw this minig. Maybe some of you have heard this, is that you shake based upon the syllables. How many syllables are there in the word ana? Oh, no, two. So you shake twice. How many syllables are there in the word hoshia? Three. Ho, she, no. Hoshia, hoshi, oh. Ho, she, oh, all right, right, you're right, three. And no is what I said, right. So again, on is two. Oh, no. Hoshia is ho, she, oh. And no is one syllable. No, only one syllable. So therefore, that's why you shake a total of six. Oh, no is two. Ho, she, oh is three. No is one. Not like the common minhag. The common minhag is 2, 2, 2. Ani do 2, Hashi do 2, and no, you do 2. The other minhag is the competition. The alternative minhag is you shake on the word ana twice, on the word Hoshia, 3 directions, and the word na, 1 direction, corresponding to the number of syllables. Okay, now, when do you put down, this is in the halacha, most people don't know this halacha, I understand the halacha, when you do Hoshanis, or when you do Hoshanis, or when you eat Halel, when do you put down the lulav and the esrog? You're not supposed to put down the lulav and the esrog till after Kaddish is over. Most people, as soon as they finish Hallel, or as soon as they finish the Hoshanis, they put it down. That's incorrect. You're supposed to remain holding the lulav and esrog in your hand until the Shliach Tzibur finishes the end of the Kaddish, whether it's Kaddish to Skabel, of Shacharis, or Musaf, even the Shliach Tzibur himself, is supposed to remain holding the lulav and esrog all the way to the very end. Okay, that's the halacha. People don't follow that. People don't know that.
Which one are you supposed to put down first?
Good question. What are you supposed to put down first? I don't know. I don't know the answer. Yeah. What are you supposed to put down first? When it comes to taking off your shoes, madach, when it comes to taking off your shoes, the halacha, what the whole order, what do you take off first? So I guess, what do you take first?
Yes, so you put down first, because lulav's 3.
Whatever, you just go in the opposite direction. When you take the lulav next, what do you take first? You take the lulav first, right? You take the lulav first, take the esrog second. Right? You take the lulav first, you make the bracha oiver la'asiyasan. How do you make the bracha oiver la'asiyasan? When you take the lulav esrog, there are 3 ways. There are 3 minhagim. The most popular minhag is to hold the esrog upside down.
Yeah, right.
The second most popular minhag is you hold it up right side up. You don't mevaze the esrog. Mevaze, upside down. That's not nice. You don't do upside down. Would you like if someone held you upside down? Okay? You don't hold your children upside down. Okay? On Simchas Torah, you're supposed to do nanum with your children. It's a minhag. It's a chasidus minhag. You pick up your toddlers, not your adult children. Your little baby, it's brought down. You do nanum on Simchas Torah.
Oh, they do this by
one side. Chasidim, they do nanum with their children. You're shaking all 6 directions with your children, and then with the children. No, it's a real minhag. Don't try with your adult children. It's not going to go off well. But what?
If the cops see it, they're not going to say anything. You're doing.
But don't turn your children upside down. You don't want to go take your esrog and turn it upside down. So what's the second most popular minhag? You have kavana not to be yotze the mitzvah. You pick up the lulav and esrog right side up, and you have kavana not to be yotze the mitzvah. What's the third custom? You don't pick up the esrog. You make the bracha when you're holding in your hand the lulav only. No esrog. The esrog is on the table. And you make the bracha, asher kiddushah mitzvah al netilas lulav, and then you pick up the esrog. I've never seen that.
The Babish
does that?
Yes.
Okay, so you see, everything has a minhag. Everything has a minhag. I found out, I know that in Chaim Lund, they do an avoda, a very elaborate avoda, on Yom Kippur, the nusach. It's unique. So I once davened in the basement for about 9.5 people on Yom Kippur. And there was a, even though there was only 9.5 people, there was someone that was very frustrated why he was not the one davening nusach. And I was davening Musaf. And this person seemed to be very, very fluent in Nusach. And I just copied whatever I know. So I know the Niggun, I know what they do in Chaim Blim, because that's what I'm used to, and I have the tape. So I listened to it 100 times.
Yom Kippur.
It wasn't done on Yom Kippur, the tape, obviously, even though there's no reason why you can't go right out today and go take it out of, you go today and go take it off the security cameras. So he said to me, this fellow, I was very interested, he says to me that the nusach that you have done, the nusach that they do in Chaim Bolin, the Avod, is very unique. There are only 2 places where they do it exactly this way in the whole world. Chaim Bolin and Chabad.
Wow.
That's what he told me. He says, this is how they do in Chabad, and nowhere else. You're not going to hear this. So it's a very interesting. They were right next to each other, by the way. They were right next. They were. So it's very interesting. You have to trace everything as a makar. Everything has a mikar. So the three minhagim of how to make the bracha. So I'm assuming to your question that the same way you pick up the esrog first, last. I'm assuming when you put it down, you first put down the esrog, go in reverse. So that's how everything normally. Tefillin is like that, and shoes are like that. Whatever. So you always go in the reverse order. Okay, one more quick halacha. Let's just jump ahead. We have a limited something very interesting about Koheles. Why do we lay Koheles on Shabbos? Why not lay it on Yom Tov? Why is the meaning to lay B'davka Koheles on Shabbos? So I saw came across something very, very fascinating. That is, in time of the Beis HaMikdash, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam, how were you mekayim the mitzvah of Sivcha? V'samachta b'chagecha with meat of kachin. Shlomim. The ikur simcha ain't simcha ella b'bosar. So where do you have bosar? B'sar kachim. You bring a carbon shlomim, and you bring a carbon shlomim, and that's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of simcha. Now, how long are you allowed to eat the carbon shlomim before it expires? 2 days. And the night in between. So let's say we have a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and you want to make kind of the mitzvah of Simcha. For real, not just eat meat of chulin, meat of kachim. When are you going to do the? When are you going to bring the carbon? Friday. You bring a carbon shalomim Friday. How long is that meat going to last? Friday night, Shabbos day, and that's it. Once you get to Mitzvah Shabbos, it becomes Noisar. Okay, so Malava Malka on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, I need meat. I don't want this any meat. I want meat of kachim. There's none to be had. Because Shabbos, you're not allowed to shecht a carbon. And Mitzvah Shabbos, you can't shecht either because the only time you can bring a carbon is by day. B'yoyim Tzavoy, so you can't bring a carbon at night. So it turns out that Mitzvah Shabbos, there is no Besar Kodshim to be found. How then are you going to be Mekayim Simchas Yom Tov Mitzvah Shabbos? So if there's no meat, the only thing left to be Mekayim Simchas Yom Tov is nice clothing, right? You have nice clothing and wine. It's going to be a Mishte Yayin. Mitzoy Shabbos Chol HaMoed, the only way you can be Mekayim V'Samachta B'Chagecha Mitzoy Shabbos Chol HaMoed is a Mishtei Akpurim, a Mishtei Yayin. What happens when you have a Mishtei Yayin? Things get out of hand. Shabbos Yelein Koheles U'L'Simcha Zo Ma Osa. Watch out. Don't get carried away. If you had some meat, the meat would keep you grounded. But when there's no meat, you just have wine, it's very dangerous. You know the Mechanchim tell you, it's very, very true. What is the most dangerous time of the week for children?
Shabbos?
No, not Shabbos. Mitzoy Shabbos.
Yeah.
Mitzoy Shabbos, Sakhamis Nefashis. Mitzoy Shabbos for a student, a high school boy, anyone, no matter where you are, no matter what spectrum you are. Mitzvah Shabbos. Well, the other, but talk about today's modern. Mitzvah Shabbos is a very, very dangerous time for high school boys and even anyone, because that's how it is. Shabbos is over. You're restrained. You're restricted. You can't do anything on Shabbos. And Mitzvah Shabbos, now you break out. What do you do? So it's natural, it's human nature. Party, have a good time. And having a good time, where does that take you? Without supervision, you can end up doing things that you'll regret. And that can start a trend and can lead from one place to another. A lot of the good high schools, a sign of a very good high school is where they have very, very strict supervision, or they have activities, Mitzvah Shabbos. The whole week, nothing. Do whatever you want. Hefkeris. On a Tuesday night, Mishma, we have Thursday. What are you doing on Tuesday night? Not our problem. It's your parents' problem. They have to go babysit you Tuesday night. You want to go to the movies Tuesday night? So go to the movies. You want to go surf the web? Do whatever you want to go do. Okay, so you, but Mitzvah Shabbos? No. Dad, we have an activity. Come to yeshiva. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have mishmar. We're going to have sports, basketball, supervised bat. We're going to have leagues. We're going to have activities. A good. I remember Mitzvah Shabbos was a big basketball night, mm-hmm. And Rabbi Siegel, the Menachel, he came there Mitzvah Shabbos to supervise the basketball. To supervise the basketball. There was no learning, but all the problems, all the big problems happened Mitzvah Shabbos. And a good school is a school where they know what you're doing Mitzvah Shabbos. They don't care what you're doing Sunday night. They don't care what you're doing Monday night. But they care what you're doing Mitzvah Shabbos, because that's where all the trouble begins. So it's interesting, go back to time of Chazal. It was also a very dangerous time, because people were very religious. Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha. What's the simcha? Besar kach. A good piece of meat, you're going to fall asleep very quickly. Okay, it's going to make you tired. A good meal, and the good meal is going to make you fall asleep. But when you're not having meat, and you're just having wine, because there is no meat to be had, because the besar shlam expired, what are you going to have? Yayin. A mishtayayin. Oh, mishtayayin. We know that's going to take you.
Also put you to sleep, really.
Not everyone falls asleep when they have wine.
So Pesach.
Well, Pesach, you're having a suda, Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean? Same thing, but there, you're saying a good question. The point is, the Iker Simcha is on Sukkot, not on Pesach and Shavuos. In the Torah, it does not say the word Simcha and Pesach at all. Shavuos, it says it once, and Sukkot, it says it really three times. Some hold it only says it twice, and the one it says V'samachtim is by Lulav and Eshrog, that's really in the Beis Hamikdash, not elsewhere. Okay, so, but it says it really three times. So that Chazal learned is that the Iker Zman of Simcha is when people get carried away, is on Sukkos. They were not so concerned on Pesach and Shavuos. We also say it on Shabbos. Shavuos, you say Rus, it's not Shabbos. Pesach, we say Shir HaShirim on Shabbos also. So you can ask Akasha, why do you say Shir HaShirim on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, and not the first or last day? It's a good kasha. But on Sukkot, the Hakpada is to say Koheles on Shabbos. He cites over here this fascinating reason why it was done, is because it was a polite Musa Shmuz to people that tonight, when you're not going to have any meat, you're only going to have wine, don't get carried away with the wine. It can lead you to a place where you don't want to be, things that you'll do, you'll regret. Okay, Mirsham, tomorrow we're not going to learn Navi. Tomorrow we're going to spend the first hour doing whatever we can, more halacha, for an hour, and then we'll learn some chumish and some agada on the sukkahs.